Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay. And each week, we are going to bring you a different filmmaker or a web series creator. And if you don't know what a web series is, you gotta get online a little more, because they're taking over the web. And as someone with a terrific one, he's done a lot of good work on this. His name is Tino Dimitro.
Tino Dimitro,
and he is the creator of Kirby in Therapy. Tino, how are you?
I am great. Thank you very much.
Now, where are you from?
I'm from Toronto, Canada, born and raised.
Born and raised. Did you get into any of the Toronto comedians that were there? Are you too young for that? And when I say that, I mean John Candy and you know what, Dan Aykroyd's from Toronto.
I grew up watching all those guys on Second City TV. Those are, I mean, you know, we've produced some of the best comics out there. So absolutely, yeah, I love those guys, and I'm very familiar with all of their work. And that's some of the reasons of why I've started doing what I do.
And when did you start doing what you do? We'll get into what you do in a little bit, but when did you get bit by this bug? And did you start out at stand-up, or did you go right to film, or what?
I started, I guess it was 15 years ago. I always had an interest in wanting to entertain and perform. Actually, when I was a kid growing up, I always wanted to be a professional wrestler, but I was just never big enough or muscular enough to do that. Got involved with a few small independent leagues, just to kind of get a feel of the wrestling business, but then later realized, you know, just like tried it out physically. It was just getting hurt too much, and it wasn't for me. And once that was done, I realized, you know, I still need a creative outlet. I still need to perform. I still need something. And I just was always a fan of TV and like dramatic series, Law and Order, things like that, sitcoms as well. And I said, I think I want to be an actor. So I went out and I took a class. And from then, it just, you know, I stuck with it. But my first passion for being an actor in the business was being a dramatic actor. It actually wasn't even comedy. So that's basically where I started, was dramatic acting.
Well, let's go back a little bit, right? You said you wanted to be a professional wrestler. And, you know, of course, like, we won't be silly about it. There's a big difference between, you know, high school or college wrestling and professional wrestling. Did you wrestle on your high school team or your college team?
No, I never did get involved in school with wrestling. I took a look at it, and I was like, that's not the wrestling that I'm so crazy about. It just didn't seem the same. I was more passionate about the stuff that I saw on TV, the bigger characters and the theatrical performances that I didn't realize at the time as a child that that's what they were doing until I actually got involved in the business. So
you went into the business thinking it was real, thinking wrestling was real?
I started talking to like independent league wrestlers, and I was starting to get a sense that it was a show, but I never found out for myself until I actually went to a wrestling gym and paid money and started taking classes and training, until I realized, okay, we're performing here.
Now, I'm going to ask you after I remind everyone who we're speaking to and why we're speaking to him, I'm going to ask you and give you a second to think about it, how like disenchanted you are when you heard that. But Tino Dimitro is our very special guest, and he created the web series Kirby in Therapy, and he is he's terrific at this. He's put together a web series, and they're starting to crowd the internet. And I'm so into whether it's guerrilla filmmaking, independent filmmaking, web series. I'm really starting to appreciate these shows as kind of an art form and a sign of the time. Tino, going back to finding out that wrestling wasn't real, I mean, was it disenchanting? Was it discouraging?
I was happy about it. I actually enjoyed it. I was like, wow, okay, so you mean I'm not really going to be like bounced around and get hurt and really be punched in the face and things like that? And I never knew that there was I hope I don't get in trouble for saying these wrestling secrets, but like a large spring trampoline type thing underneath the ring and stuff like that. So when I found that, I was like, okay, so this is a performance. This is what we're doing. You know, we're talking to each other in the ring. We're what they like to say is calling the spots. And basically what calling spots mean is when you're together in the ring, you're talking to each other, talking about the next series of moves you're going to do. And so I thought, this is fantastic. I love this. And you know, I got into it. I stuck with it for about a year. But sure enough, you know, I was getting hurt. Everyone does. Although it is a performance, there still is a lot of, you know, you just need to be a true athlete to do it because you're still jumping, landing, flipping, doing all these things, which I was starting to get good at, but it really was just too painful. And I just looked forward and said, I can't imagine doing this physically for the next 20, 30 years. So that's why I finally decided to walk away from it. That was a bit of a challenge, but because of the physical pain that I was starting to endure, it kind of made it easier to walk away from something that I was so passionate about for so many years. So,
well, yeah. It's interesting that you got into dramatic acting after that. What kind of dramatic acting? Did you get into plays? Did you get into films, TV shows?
I was doing both. When I first became an actor, I was taking scene study classes with a fantastic coach in Toronto. And doing scenes from TV series and movies, and I fell in love with it. I said, this is what I want to do with the rest of my life. And from there, I started putting on my own plays. I started getting actors together. At the time, I lived in a smaller city outside of Toronto, and there was a library that had a theater space, and we used to rent the theater space and just bring our friends and family and neighbors and people from, you know, just from the neighborhood itself and anyone else who wanted to see it. And we'd put on like great shows. I'd go get like fantastic scripts, like older stuff, Glengarry, Glenn Ross, stuff like that, like really, really good stuff. Now at the time, you know, I just started, I didn't really know what I was doing, and I was taking on this big material. But it was a lot of fun, and that's how I started doing the dramatic stuff. But things, you know, there's just so many dramatic actors, and with my look and with my approach to the characters that I play and the types of characters that I play, you know, it's always been kind of like the New York tough guy or the cop or that type of character. And that's kind of what happened as far as branching off to comedy. Because fast forward to many years later, I'm working with a new coach, and she says, look, you know, you've played some, you know, some parts on TV, nothing big, you know, you're not getting a ton of work. Why don't you try being funny? And I said, no, I'm not a comedian. I've never done stand up. I don't have any training in that. And she says, look, why don't you just do it the Robert De Niro way? And I said, what do you mean? What's the Robert De Niro way of comedy? She said, watch him, and you'll see what I'm saying. He talks about very ridiculous, funny, stupid, silly things, but he's very serious about it when he does it. And that's what makes him hilarious when he does films like Meet the Fockers and all that kind of stuff. So that's how I ended up getting into comedy and branching away from dramatic acting, because as much as I loved dramatic acting, it just like doors were just not really opening for me.
And now that brings us to the idea of a web series. Is this something that your agent or a manager will steer you away from? Will they say, oh, listen, don't do that? Or do they think, hey, you know what? You know, you keep sharp. If you're not getting, you know, you're not getting overwhelmed with work, you're not getting a ton of work, why not do one of these web series? And why don't you create it? And it works on your, you know, I imagine it works on your writing, your directing, and a little bit of everything, because I'm sure you're wearing many hats when you do something like this. I'm going to remind people that just may be tuning in that this is Frank McKay, and my special guest is Tino Dimitro, and he is the creator of a web series, and that's basically a television show on the web and a series of shows. Now, getting back to that, Tino, is it advised by agents and or managers to do or not to do this type of thing?
I would say right now, the way the industry is working, it's probably maybe 50-50, perhaps maybe 60-40, just because, you know, if you're getting a lot of work as an actor, and I'll say specifically here in Toronto, if you're getting a lot of work, you know, they wouldn't want you to go off and spend tons of time and commit to doing your own web series or someone else's, because they're concerned that, you know, this actor is going to go and spend time on that, and then what about auditions and acting and, you know, the money in their pocket as far as the union and the agent goes. But then when, you know, on the other hand, when things start to change for a particular web series, let's say being up on YouTube and getting enough subscribers and enough hits to where they're actually starting to generate some money now, The unions and the agents here in Toronto now have agreements to where they can actually put their hand into that money as well. So for successful web series, they're all for it. But if it's just kind of a little thing you do on the side that's going to take up your time and you are gaining work, then they would probably advise against it.
Well, web series kind of defines itself. And, you know, I assume people who are listening could figure out what a web series is. Again, it's a TV show on the web, and it's only over the top, or it's only on over the top avenues, meaning that it's not on a regular radio, a television station. Give us an example of a web series. Give us the first web series that you came across that was successful.
That's a fantastic question. I think I'd have to think about that one. I've seen so many of them. I can't think of anything specific. I've just looked at successful YouTubers, people that have had, I guess the first person that comes to mind, this might be silly, is Jenna Marbles. She has like over 14 million followers and millions of views. And that's what got me interested and kind of caught my attention because, you know, I wasn't booking a lot of acting work, and I just looked at it and said, you know, there's a lot of people that are trying to make web series, and I was interested in the next phase of it. Once you've got one and it's hilarious and a lot of people are watching, well, you know, what happens next? That's what interested me. So that's why I have it, and that's why I keep going with it. And mine is very different than a lot of the people on YouTube, because they're very, you know, they're kind of sitting at home in their room with with their camera on them, maybe just the camera lens from their computer and stuff like that, which is, for me, I'm producing an actual show. I have a crew and things like that. So, but as far as really successful web series, I can't think of anything specific. I know that there is a couple out there that actually have some big name A-list actors. I've never really searched them out, but I've heard people talking about them and stuff like that. But unfortunately, I don't have an answer for that one. Sorry.
I think the answer is that it's a fairly new, art form might be too big a word. I let people decide for themselves.
Yeah.
But one day I'm sure people are going to say of course it's an art form. Look, people are being creative and they're putting it out. It doesn't matter whether a regular television station put it out or not. But, I think of people like, there's a guy named Chugga Conroy. Chugga Conroy, he talks about video games. The guy gets a couple million views on his, and I only know it because I had my son, my 13-year-old son, 5 years ago, was big into Chugga Conroy 3 years ago. And, this guy would just basically play a video game and do it, I guess, in an entertaining way and teach gamers how to get through it. And I think that's a big part of what's going on there. But I think also, again, worth mentioning again that our guest today, and we're talking about web series here and independent filmmaking and, sometimes guerrilla filmmaking. We've had some folks on that simply do guerrilla filmmaking, which is a different deal. But Tino Dimitro is our very special guest. Kirby in Therapy is the show. I'd urge everyone to check this out and check out what we mean by a web series. But the fact that you have a web series and you can't point to one that's a big success means that it's a pretty new outlet for people. I don't remember the first time I heard the phrase. I mean, do you remember?
It is something that, it hasn't been too long. Like it is very new. Web series is like, even not too long ago, I was like, wait, what web series? What is that? And to me, it was, I'm sorry to say, it was a joke. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm a serious actor going to auditions. What are you talking about? You saw a web series or you're on a web series. Like, how do you even do that? You know what I mean? Like, where's the professionalism in it? But then by creating my own, I was able to take a really strong look at how organized and how professional it could be, because it's really no different than producing, directing, and acting and writing a TV series. It doesn't matter where your set is or how you do it. It's just where does the finished product go? So mine gets uploaded to YouTube, whereas, a really successful sitcom on NBC just goes up on Thursday nights, right? So that's kind of how that goes, yeah.
Well, there's a store down here, a national chain. I don't know if you have them in Toronto, but you have Best Buys up there?
Best Buy. Yes, we do.
Yeah, Best Buy is a electronics store, and and it's people go there to get large electronics. And I went into a Best Buy not long ago, and a couple of years ago it was, and I was looking for a television for my daughter, and I was asking this group over there, a place that that I guess deal with the technical aspect, and it's called the Geek Squad. And I asked the people there for a reference, what do they recommend for a television? And the first person said, I don't have a television. My parents had a television, but he said I haven't watched TV in so long. And then they went down the line. And it took six or seven people that were there, young guys, guys in their, early 20s, I imagine, young women, and none of them were watching regular TVs, regular television sets, and all their parents did and whatever. But I thought it was pretty funny. They're all watching on, some type of device, an iPad or laptop at the time or whatever they were watching on. And it hit me as a sign of the times. And I think the other thing that really was a breakthrough for over the top television was House of Cards. Now, by no means do I want to mix that up with a web series, but when House of Cards started getting recognized and started getting awards, I think it sent terrestrial television, for lack of a better term, regular television stations and people who have monopolized that medium for years, I think it sent shockwaves through there, because now all of a sudden something that was over the top and over the top only, such as Netflix, is creating something that's critically acclaimed, something that the public is buying. And House of Cards is really is a major breaking point and turning point in the TV business, at least it looks right now, the way it looks now. So again, a reminder, and I want to ask him more about Kirby and Therapy. It's Dimitro. Tino Dimitro is a second time I screwed up your name, Tino. One day I'm going to be sorry I did that.
That's okay.
Forgive me. Tino Dimitro is the creator of that web series, and it's called Kirby and Therapy. And so let's talk a little about Kirby and Therapy, and let's plug that a little.
Sure.
You created it when, and up to this point, how many episodes do you have out?
We have our first five episodes out, and how it was created was just kind of going back to when a particular acting coach said, why don't I try something funny for once? And I said, well, I don't know how to do that as an actor. I only know how to be serious. So my agent at the time asked me to put some different characters together on tape. She wanted to see my range. I said, okay, no problem. And so I went to my coach. I said, what have you got? What can you give me? And she gave me a scene. And it was, I don't even remember what it was from. It was maybe from some old TV show or something. And so I read this character, and just kind of a light. Kind of a light went on, just kind of a spark happened, and it was just this guy kind of ranting on about something to his neighbor, and he was talking about his kids. And so I did this scene, and I put it on tape, and I gave it to my agent, and I gave her about 10 more characters to go with that. And she phoned me up, and she says, this character is hilarious. This is fantastic. I love it. And this is an agent that never really had much to say. It was just all business, no emotion. So to get that type of reaction out of her was great at the time. It was fantastic. So from there, that's truly where this Kirby and Therapy character came from, because I started writing, and I didn't have a name for the character, and I didn't know exactly where I wanted to go, but I just know that this person was. Had a lot of crazy, odd issues that he was dealing with, and he just liked to rant on and on and on about them. So time goes by, I start writing, and then things start to come together. I give him a funny name. I think Kirby's a funny name, but sorry.
With apologies to anybody who is Kirby. Hey, we're running up on a break, so go ahead. I don't mean to rush you, but good.
Okay. Yeah. So I started writing the character. He got a name, and then I started writing shorter episodes because I wanted to make it very comedic, where he's ranting on about one thing where it's kind of misleading to the audience, and then at the end of every episode we hit a funny punchline that kind of grabs you from left field and just really throws you in a different direction. Basically, ranting on about one thing, and then you finish it up and go, oh my God, that whole time he was talking about that. But we thought he was talking about this, so that's how it really came together.
Well, listen, I'm telling you, it's a new art form, soon to be recognized as an art form, and it's the web series, and we're talking about a web series as much as we're talking about Kirby in therapy, and nice enough to share with us his work, and we urge everyone to go check out Kirby in Therapy. Just look it up, K-I-R-B-Y in Therapy, and the creator's name is Tino Dimitro, and please check him out. He's a talented guy, and he has an outlet now through a web series, and please check him out. Tino, thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Tino Dimitro, everyone, has been our guest. Kirby in Therapy is the name of the show. Please check it out. It's a web series. We'll see you next time on Breaking It Down. This is Frank McKay.